It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yeah. I'm back. Ali is away, so it's just you and I. Hope y'all good. How y'all doing? Matter of fact, let me just ask you, how you doing? You good?
Okay.
All right. That's what's up. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, shit. We'll talk about that hopefully today, but if not, talk about that shit offline. Anyway, I'm feeling good. Thanks for asking. I just came back from being outside, trudging through the snow. No real reason. I just wanted to get out the house. You know, honestly, I really didn't need to be out there in the snow. I try to avoid the snow, you know, after it's like new Air Force Ones, you know what I mean? Like when they fresh white, it's a beautiful thing. But then when that toe box start getting nasty, I don't want nothing to do with it. That's how I feel about the snow. When that shit start getting burdensome, you know, when you just trudging through that shit, when you get to the little corners, and it's that sludge, that deep sludge that could tear your whole shit up if you land wrong. Yeah, I try to avoid all of that if I can, you know. Oh, man, when them big snow banks is blocking your car in, you got to figure it all the way out. Snow is fly when it's falling, but after that shit is a problem. But anyway, so I was outside. I jumped out. Went outside because I did the, I don't want to say rookie mistake because, you know, I'm no rookie to it and I knew what I was doing, but I had two cups of Bustelo this morning. I had two cups. I guess that first cup was good. I did the thing where I'm not even a cold cereal dude anymore, but I went grocery shopping pre-storm, and I'm actually proud to say I didn't do the hoarding shopping. I didn't do the little panic shopping where I'm grabbing all types of shit. I actually went grocery shopping a few days before the storm, and quietly, I didn't even believe a storm was going to hit. You know what I mean? I just, for whatever reason, it didn't look like a storm was going to hit. And these meteorologists be so hit or miss nowadays. They be, oh, it's a big storm. It's going to be crazy, all of this shit. And then it'd be like a little tiny flurry or nothing or, you know, all of that shit. But yeah, it got real. But anyway, I went grocery shopping, and I bought some Honey Bunches of Oats. And I don't know what, I had a little taste for some Honey Bunches of Oats. I ain't had Honey Bunches of Oats for a minute. I kind of chilled on cold cereal because all that shit is just a straight carb bomb, sugar bomb. Wow, it tastes great. You know what I mean? It tastes great, but you're killing yourself early in the day. So I was like, let me chill. But anyway, I went ahead and got me a box of that. So I did the thing, like I said, back to the Bustelo. I did the thing where I ate the Honey Nut Cheerios. Not Honey Nut Cheerios, pardon me. What is that shit called? Honey Bunches of Oats, right. The Honey Bunches of Oats, ate that shit. Then you got the little leftover milk. So I hit that. I put that with the Bustelo. You know what I'm saying? Little leftover latte. But something, I don't know what it was. I was like, nah, let me go ahead thinking things would be different. Thinking things would be different because I know the outcome, but I said, nah, fuck it. Had that second cup, and I was tweaking like typically. I was tweaking as usual, tweak. And it was crazy because it came over me at the time when, like, I was like, yo, let me watch this movie. I wanted to watch a movie earlier today, and I've been doing things where I'm trying to like train my attention span, you know, because on Sundays when I see my screen time come up, I'm typically not happy with that shit, even though it went down a little bit because this week I just looked at the percentage that it went down. I was like, oh, it went down. I treat that shit like blood pressure. I'm like, ah, it's down. But then later on I looked at the actual hours and I was like, oh, hell nah, come on, D, you bugging, because it's crazy. You just wake up and, you know, you look at your phone or whatever. So I've been trying to like train my attention span, just put my phone to the side, put it on D&D, and then do some reading, do some writing, watch a movie, something. But like the goal is not to touch the phone and just commit to whatever I'm doing. And, you know, it's touch and go. Sometimes I got to Google that. Let me see what that is. Or, oh, shit, let me Shazam this, whatever. But, you know, something to make me grab the phone. But for the most part, I've been all right. Right? So anyway, I'm tweaking off of the Bustelo. And I'm trying, like, I can just feel the restlessness in my body. And I'm trying to focus on this film. It's about 2 hours of film. I'm focusing on that shit. And then I'm like, yo, I gotta get outside. You know what I'm saying? I gotta get outside. I gotta go somewhere. And I told you I had the little cereal, but I was kind of hungry. And I was like, let me go to this spot. You know what I mean? Let me go to this little spot that I had heard about, one of these little curiosity plates. And I ain't gonna say the spot, not that I'm gatekeeping, just for the fact that I just don't think it was all that. It was fine. I don't want to, after last week, because I think last week I was curmudgeoned out. I think I was still fresh off that cold. I was just talking about shit. I think I was hating a little bit. I think so. I don't know. Maybe I ain't listened back since I edited it. But it just felt like I was critical of a whole lot of shit. And whatever. So the shit was, it was fine. I was starving. So, you know, it worked out. But it was unremarkable. But anyway, I was like, let me go out, go get me something to eat. So I went to this little spot to see about it. It was decent, you know, but it didn't blow my mind. Anyway. So yeah, I just came back from there. And then I also had the intention, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go to this thrift store out in Brooklyn for whatever reason. I was like, you know. And I say for whatever reason, because every so often I find myself thinking that I'm somebody that goes thrift shopping, vintage shopping, like I'm one of these people, and I'm not. I'm not. I don't have the patience for it. I don't think I got the vision for it. Maybe I don't say the vision, but I definitely don't got the patience for it. I don't. Yeah. When I go into a vintage shop, it just feel like old people's shit. Feel like old clothes. Feel like shit that people threw out. Even if it's well curated, it just still, when I pick it up and look at it on the hanger, I'm like, this shit old as fuck. This is old. This, like, this shit low key musty. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to. And then, like, since the thrift game got so so celebrated, I guess it's been celebrated forever and ever, but I guess it's cresting currently. Everybody going thrift shopping, I guess, with, you know, like the rise of fast fashion and a lot of that stuff in the store being trash, to be totally honest with you, you know, poor materials and things like that. People are like, they dipping into the thrift store stuff. So the people know that and they throw a premium on it. And I'm like, why am I paying all of this for some shit that somebody discarded? You know, I go to a thrift shop and then that make me want to just go back to my old spot. If I'm going to look at some old clothes, let me shop my closet, see what's cracking. So anyway, so that was the goal. I was going to eat. You know, trudge through it. Once I got up out in that snow, I was like, oh, man, I don't think this is a two destination journey, you know. But and then I was like, am I going to go all the way out there? Because what happened was, you know what? I was like, am I going to do this? So I was walking to the train. And I was going to take it there. But on my way to the train, I came past another thrift shop. I went through there and I thumbed through the shit. And I was like, nah. Fuck, I'm gonna go all the way out there to do the same shit, and this is not me. Salute to all those people that can do it. Salute to all those people that can find fly shit, because y'all look like magicians to me. You know, y'all be finding that shit. I ain't gonna lie to you, but I don't got the patience. So I just took it all the way back to the crib. So now I'm here. I'm at the crib, chilling out, talking to y'all, kicking it. I don't know. I think last week I went to Woodbury, right? Because I guess there's a part of me that I feel like I need some new clothes or whatever the fuck. Or I would like some new clothes. I don't need them. I would like some new clothes and shit. So I was like, let me run up to Woodbury. I ain't been to Woodbury in a minute. So I took the journey up to Woodbury last Wednesday, and Woodbury on a Wednesday during the day, that shit was crazy. It was like I had the whole spot to myself. It was nobody up there. It was kind of crazy. It was just, it was desolate. It was desolate, but in a good way. So I went to the polo spot, because that's, for me, forever, that's always been an anchor, you know, when I go anywhere, especially if I go outlet shop. It is polo. It used to be Timberland, but that, you know, they kind of fell off a little bit as far as the outlets go. And Nike. And Nike's hit or miss too. Polo's hit or miss. I went into polo. It felt like they in the midst of maybe getting something new soon, because it just felt like it was just a little bit of dregs. But I tell you this, this is interesting. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with what's going on politically, right? But I walk into polo, and I guess it was, you know, some of the stuff left over from the Olympics, and then just typical polo. You know, polo is going to hit you with some USA on everything and the American flag on everything. You know, that's what Ralph liked to do. But for whatever reason, I was like, I don't even want to be repping all of this. I'm American like a motherfucker, but I ain't, you know what I mean? Shout out to Rick Derringer. But I ain't really trying to be walking around. It just felt weird seeing all this flag shit. You know what I'm saying? All this USA shit, because USA looking real funny in the light right now. You know what I mean? And listen, that's always been a back and forth because, you know, our people built this shit, you know? So there's that. You claim it. But the way that we get treated and the way that America is just showing their whole ass, I was like, nah, I ain't jacking that right now. So I was chilling. I walked up out of there. Wasn't too much going on in there. Then I went. This was the funny thing about outlet shopping and mall shopping. It's just, you know, the discovery stores. So I noticed, oh, shit, a Hoka store has opened at Woodbury. And I've never put my foot in a Hoka before, but I hear the little Hoka hype. I hear people talking about how comfortable they are and all of that. And again, I got Woodbury to myself. Ain't nobody there, no lines, nothing. So I walk up into the Hoka store, and they bored. They ain't doing shit. They just walking around them little tall-ass shoes. So I said, yo, let me try one of these Hokas on. And I'm not going to lie to you, those shits are tall and fluffy, like big diesel marshmallow soles, you know, because I'm at that point in my life where I need some comfort. You know, I don't know if I'm all the way on the Hoka train or I definitely ain't on the on. What is that shit called? On? Is it just on? You know, the on sneakers? I do Hoka before the on sneakers. But they were all right. They was all right. They was having a little sale and shit. I walked around. I didn't pull the trigger. I realized, too, not even just vintage shopping or even outlet shopping or whatever, I am not the shopper. I don't really like shopping. I don't think I've ever liked shopping, to be totally honest with you. I do it. Typically, I go cop or pick some shit up. That's always been me. I've been like, yo, I need some sneakers, or I'm looking for this. Like, it's got to be real targeted. I'm going to go here, and hopefully I see what I'm looking for. But, like, Johnny Brows, that's never really been my style. That's never been my style. And I think it's twofold. We'll talk about it in a second. But, so I walked around the Hokas, and it was some young kid. He was trying to, it was funny because he was trying to sell me on the Hokas, but he felt like he was trying to sell himself on the Hokas too. Like, he was like, look, man, I just work here. I ain't no Hoka dude like that, but I ain't gonna lie, them shit is comfortable. You know, it's my first time wearing Hokas too. Like, it's still a crisis for a lot of people to be going to the, because he was well younger than me. So I guess the new generation is still a little concerned about what they put on their feet. Sometimes it don't seem like it, but he was definitely like, yeah, you know, I mean, I can't, look, they comfortable. That's the only selling point. They comfortable. You know what I'm saying? So I did that. What else I seen out there? I don't know if they're making a a comeback or what? Seems like it, because I haven't seen them in forever. But Helly Hansen, they got a Helly Hansen store up in Woodbury. They had some shit in there. I was like, oh shit. And it was cheap. So I'm like, damn. You know, as you get older, you think, did the brands that used to be aspirational when I was young, did they fall off? Is it over for them? Am I the last to know? Is this shit trash? I mean, but actually, you know what, man? I'm not even out here to compete. If I like it, I'm going to rock it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't going to lie to you. They had some shit, and I was like, yo, that shit fire. They had these snow pants, and they had these, like, this snow jumper, like a full-on overall jumper joint, snow joint. And both of them were priced good. And all I think about is going out to Ann Arbor, February 26th through the 28th. You know what I mean? I know it's going to be cold as fuck. So I was like, yo, maybe I should cop a pair of those, but I didn't buy that. Thought about it. They got a Salomon store up there, and I tried on these Salomons that I tried on before, and they had them, you know, with outlet pricing. You know what I'm saying? And again, almost pulled the trigger, but that Salomon thing. One thing I don't like about it is they got the drawstring shoelace. The laces system is like a drawstring. You pull it, you know what I mean? And you it's not some shit that you tie up. It's already like pre-tied, and it's like a little disc, and you pull it down. I'm trying to give you, you've seen this type of lacing technology, but it just feel weird on your foot. So I was like, nah. Long story short, it was a parade of nah. You know, I was walking around. I tell you this. Okay, so back to what I about shopping. There's two things. It's funny. I'm funny about shopping. Like, I want some customer service, but I don't want you hovering. I don't want you like trying to sell me. I don't want it to be too aggressive. I just want you to acknowledge me, offer help. Hey, listen, I'm here if you need me. That's all I need. Just hey, I'm here if you need me. That's it. That's cool. You ain't gotta follow me, none of that. You know, like, I think a couple things. One, you know, like, back in the day, back in the way, way, way back, like high school and all of that, I used to be a young, you know, little booster, a little bit, nothing crazy. Shout out to Boots Riley, who got the movie coming out, Boosters, which look pretty good. The cast is crazy. Taylor Page, Kiki Palmer, a bunch of motherfuckers. Demi Moore. Like, it looked weird as fuck. It looked like some weird Boots Riley shit. But anyway, so I used to boost. So there's the part of me that's like, this always, I still feel like people might be looking, you know what I mean, watching me as if I'm gonna boost. I haven't boosted in 30 years, but still, there's still this little, I don't know what it is, like, I don't know, there's still this thought, and I'm not gonna lie, there's the thought of, yo, not that I be thinking about boosting, but I'm like, you know what I'm saying, just be peeping shit. It's still, you can feel it. I don't know. I can't explain it. It's one of those things. It's just almost like if you used to do graffiti, if you used to tag, there's not the desire always, but you can still see, a nice looking wall. You know what I'm saying? Or a dope spot, throw a sticker. You know what I mean? Silly shit like that. So there's that, like, yo, why they looking at me like that? And then there's also the part of, like, when I go into some of these luxury type of stores, right? You know, they got a few of them up there, whether it's Gucci. Gucci's pretty good up there, but like Loewe or fucking Brioni. Not really Saint Laurent, they cool, but like there's certain places where it's like the staff, you looking at the staff, like the staff is like one of me from my community. You know what I'm saying? Not even like that, but like, I always bug out when I go into like these little luxury stores and it's cats that they work in there. Just they getting paid. Maybe they're getting paid commission, whatever. But sometimes maybe I'm projecting. Sometimes it feel like they assuming the role of the clientele. You know what I'm saying? Like, or even beyond that, they kind of it feel like they profile you. Man, this nigga ain't gonna buy nothing. This. I mean, what he looking at? Hold on, I know this nigga ain't over here looking at this $5,000 jacket. Like, he about to buy this little $5,000 jacket. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, it just be in my mind. I'm like, damn, dog. I don't know. I went to the Brioni, and they got the thing where the dude opened the door for you, right? So it's a cat, you know, regular cat. He opened the door. I say, yo, thank you. This nigga don't say nothing. So I'm like, kind of, all right, it's kind of cold in this bitch. But it's my people, but it's cold. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, thank you, there's nothing, right? On the way out, open the door for me again. Thank you, nothing. I'm like, yo, what the fuck is going on here? But, you know, I don't know, it's just weird. It's just weird, dog. I don't know. I'm listen. And I do this pod sometimes, especially now that, you know, just it's just me, it's just y'all. You know, these ramblings. Congratulations to Sinners, the entire cast and crew. They have broken the Oscar nominations record with 16 nominations. Give it up to them. That is big as hell, you know. It's a beautiful thing. Historic. They made history. But I'm going to tell you something. And this is me. And this is the sad thing. And I had to unpack this and give this some thought, right? When I saw that Sinners broke the record for Oscar nominations, I hate to say my first thought was, all right, D, don't get your hopes up. I hate that. I hate that that was my first fucking thought. I was like, damn, I hope they not just setting motherfuckers up, you know what I mean, for disappointment. You know, as the young kids say, hope they ain't playing in my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was, I hate that that was my first thought. And it made me really question and unpack that, right? It made me come up with this theory called the Casino of Blackness, right? And then basically, the thought of it all is immediately, I said, yo, don't get your hopes up, right? But then I was like, why not? Why not get your hopes up? Why not be hopeful? Why not be excited? You know what I mean? Win or lose, you still broke the record. You know what they say, it's an honor to be nominated, whatever, whatever. People still going to have to write about it, and they've been writing about it. And whoever wins, wins. But then there's that point of it with, like, you know, I've been watching a lot of the narratives. Like, I've been, you know, particularly with one battle after another, and Marty Supreme and Sinners and Hamnet. And, you know, I haven't watched Hamnet yet, but, like, I hear those titles being talked about the most, right? So immediately I already think, you know what I mean, like, they probably going to get that shit. They probably going to give Best Director to Paul Thomas Anderson, or Best Movie to, you know, whatever, whatever. Coogler might get Adapted Screenplay, but I don't think he didn't get that at the SAG Awards. Or not the SAG Awards, the Golden Globes or whatever. And then they're looking like Timothy Chalamet is going to get Best Actor, all of this other shit, right? But then I was like, you never know, you know. And then after I seen everything, I was like, you know what, on some real shit, Michael B. Jordan got just as much of a chance at winning that shit as Leo or Timothy Chalamet. This motherfucker, he played three roles if you ask Viola Davis, but two roles. He played Smoke and Stack convincingly to the point where it wasn't even distracting, where it didn't feel like a gimmick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've only watched all three of these titles once. I found myself looking at the probability of him winning based less on his performance, but more on the fact that he's black. You know what I'm saying? And preparing myself to be disappointed because, you know, black films get overlooked. Black actors get overlooked. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, let me not get too excited because I don't want to be fucking upset on Oscar Sunday. But the reality of the situation is, who knows? First of all, this is why I call it the casino of blackness, right? We 13%. You know, 13.5, I think. You know, we've been 13.5 forever. I feel like we 17 at least. I be walking through the world, depending on where I'm at, feeling like at least 17. But we 13.5, allegedly, right? But anyway, so, and it's funny, I was listening to Nicole Hannah Smith. Nicole Hannah Jones? You know, 1619 Project. Let me make sure I get her name correctly. But she was talking about the fact that, like, listen, we 13%, so everything we do is within coalition, right? You know, and that had more to do with what's going on right now, where, like, white lives are being taken and white folks are being awakened to the brutality of America because now they on the board. Now they've been getting touched. And there's the, you know, there's the conversation of people saying, well, it's about time, you know what I mean? And which is valid. But the thought that she had was, listen, we always going to have to move within coalition with other people because of where we stand. Yeah, Nicole Hannah Jones. But anyway, 13%, right? So we 13%, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't make up a majority in anything. You know what I'm saying? You know, anything that's broad, you know? So it's like, no matter how good some of these films are that are appeal to us, oftentimes they're dismissed as, oh, that's for the black people. You know what I'm saying? So they become overlooked damn near by default, right? So I say the casino of blackness because it's like, the odds are not necessarily in our favor. And more often than not, in the casino, the house always wins. But when motherfuckers do win, when black people win, at any point, still, as long as we've been in this motherfucker, still when we win, more often than not, we be winning in a way that feels like we ain't won before. And not in a bad way, but it's just like the win feels sweet. I feel like we was down by 40. You know what I mean? So, you know, it made me say, dog, don't even worry about it. Don't abandon the hope. Don't try to manage your expectations. Because sometimes I do that shit just so I don't feel like I'm going to be disappointed or whatever, like I said. And fuck it. Live into it. Live in this shit. You know, if Sinners takes home a bunch of awards, that's great. Because I think Sinners was fucking great. I do think One Battle After Another was dope too. Marty Supreme was solid. Right? And I'm going to try to watch at least Sinners again and maybe the other two. Well, definitely One Battle After Another again as well and try to catch Hamnet. But anyway, it was just some shit that I was thinking about. I was like, damn, dog, why do I feel myself? Why do I have that knee-jerk reaction to be like, this is dope, but as opposed to this is dope and enjoy it and enjoy it. You know what I mean? And like, and rally behind it and like, you know, relish in this attention. Whether or not Sinners wins or Sinners loses, it don't matter. It did break the record. 16 nominations. That is obvious attention. People know about it. People talking about it. The shit made a lot of money at the box office. All of that. You know? I don't necessarily need to be wedded to the outcome. It don't make it, whether it gets a bunch of awards or not, doesn't make it any less of a good film if you fuck with that film. And that's anything, you know? Because recently, you know, y'all know I've been watching Criterion Closet videos probably damn near all last year, maybe the year before that and beyond, right? And I've been tracking down a lot of these acclaimed movies that these people are like, oh, this is film, this is art, this is great cinema. And I'll sit through them shits, and some of them are fire. Some of them are amazing. Some of them are great cinema. And some of them shits is, the fuck was that? Some of them have wasted 2 hours. Some of them have wasted 3 hours. Some of them have wasted damn near 4 hours. To be totally honest with you, I don't really remember who wins Best Picture year after year after year after year. I would have to go to Google more often than not. There's a few that stand out. Moonlight stands out. Parasite stands out. Shit, that's about it. But I know the movies that I love. You know, some of them may have won something. Some of them may not have won nothing. As far as I'm concerned, they still dope movies. You know? But, yeah, it just had me thinking. I was like, damn. Let me enjoy that. And it goes beyond film and culture and everything. That is probably just my own thing, too. Like, don't worry about the shoe dropping. Live life. Live life. Like, enjoy this shit. Enjoy this shit because it's finite and it's precious, as we see every day. You know? So it's just like, man, you know what I mean? You don't need to play the peak like it's a valley just because you're getting ready for the valley. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck that. Ew, you know, get into it. Like, yeah, they're on top for as long as you're on top. Might be on top for a second. You might be on top for a while. You might plateau on top. Who knows? Speaking of celebrations, I had shows out in Brooklyn this weekend. So after the fact, I went over to the 2-year anniversary of Aaliyah Cocktail Den. You know, it's a rooftop restaurant, black woman-owned rooftop restaurant in the Hotel Indigo out in Williamsburg. And she owns two restaurants in there. Might be three, but for sure, the Continent, which is on the bottom floor, and Aaliyah, which is on the rooftop. And that shit was popping. That shit was a nice little shindig. The vibe was, you know, was nice and, I don't want to say mature. I'm at that point now where it's mature vibes. You know what I mean? Grown and sexy. Remember grown and sexy was a thing? I guess it still is a thing, but that was a marketing term after a while. Grown and sexy. That's back when Jay-Z was telling you to take the jersey off. Put a button up on. Niggas was rocking Ryan Kenny button ups with them huge cuffs. That was the cufflink era. Shout out to the cufflink era. Shout out to the hybrid sneaker shoe. And a lot of people was using to just get into the spot. Chill, chill, chill. We ain't doing sneakers. Got the little Kenneth Cole hybrid sneaker joint. You know what I mean? Anyway, yeah, it was a vibe in there. I think the DJ's name was DJ Mad Out. I think that's his name. He was rocking that shit. I've been watching let me see if these are 70s movies. I'm not even sure. I was watching, speaking of Criterion Closet, right? And I was watching Gloria, which is a Cassavetes movie starring Gina Rowlands, which is, you know, John Cassavetes' wife, obviously, and an actress. And I liked her in Woman Under the Influence. Like, that, she killed that shit. Like, if you ain't seen that, that's something to go see. Oh, yeah, Gloria came out in 1980. But anyway, a lot of people were talking about how good that movie was. So I watched that. It was all right. It was all right. It's her, basically, she got a, I'm trying to think of a way in which I could give you the premise of it without spoiling it. She comes to kind of save the day. The mob is looking for this one guy. I guess he's like the bookkeeper for a numbers operation, it seems. And he may have started snitching. So he was about to, I think, surrender the books or the ledger as evidence of the mob trying to get him out of there before that goes, you know, in front of a judge. So long story short, it starts basically with my man trying to hightail it out of there. And he got a whole little family, you know what I mean? He looks like a Jewish guy, white guy, but he's got like a Puerto Rican wife or a Puerto Rican girlfriend. And they got a bunch of kids or whatever. And like, he's like, yo, babe, we got to get the fuck out of here. It reminds me of just that. That urgency of we got to get the fuck out of here reminds me of Coochie Raps On The Run.
You know what I'm saying? Why your face all sweaty? Yo, you got to listen to On the Run. That's my shit. That's one of the, oh, man, that shit is fire. Especially the Al Capone remix. But anyway, he hustling, trying to get the fuck out of there because they coming for him. Long story short, he got a little son who's probably about 6. He say, yo, son, I need you to take this book and get the fuck out of here. Gloria, who happens to be like his neighbor on the floor, she stopped by. The dude is like, yo, Gloria, take my son and take this book, please. They coming for me. Just do that. She's like, I don't even fucking like kids, but whatever. You know what I mean? She's a broad. You know, that's the old school. Listen, she ain't fucking with no kids. She's living alone with her cat. She done made her money. She trying to just chill, trying to just coast the way of this life out. She done finally made some money. This is how she presented. Look, I done finally made my money. I ain't got no burdens. It's me and my cat and a bunch of cash, and I'm just trying to live this bitch until the end. But here you go, putting your, you know, 6-year-old Puerto Rican son on me, and I gotta save his life. So the whole thing is, she's holding the kid down with the evidence or whatever, and you know, that is the thrust of the movie. So you got Gina Rowlands, and then you got the little boy who's playing, who's like 6 years old, John Adames, I guess, plays Phil, 6. So you got like an accomplished actor and a child actor sharing the screen, and do with that what you want. You know, like, this kid is 6, so he's you know, he's trying his best. You know, so I found myself trying my best to be patient with Lil Man. It's not the best Cassavetes movie in my mind, but it's got some shit. It's in New York. It takes place like in the Bronx and uptown, and this is like the 70s. They jumping on the train, the old train. They hopping out the cab, you know, and then there's like all of that 70s type of talk. You know what I'm saying? Like Lil Man's like, he don't know the score. He don't know the score. He don't know a dame like you, a kid like me. They don't know the score. I was just loving that shit. It was just silly. You know, so that was, it was a decent watch. It was a decent watch. I watched that. Then earlier today, I watched Clute. Clute? When did Clute come out? Another one of these wrecks. This was with, what's my girl's name? Jane Fonda, Donald Sutherland. Jane Fonda, she plays a working girl who, I guess, you know, she's out in the world. She's living a life, for better or worse, you know? Like, she done been assaulted. Like, she's working. I don't think she has no pimp, you know what I mean? And then, like, Donald Sutherland plays a private investigator, and they're basically trying to find a guy that was killed, and he needs to ask her a bunch of questions, and it was all over the place. But again, I'm a charge it. It wasn't terrible, but it didn't. Listen, I'm a charge it to the 2 cups of Bustelo that I don't really have the best recap on that. It was all right. If I out the two, if I told you watch Clute or watch Gloria, wow. You'll get some laughs out of Gloria more than you will with Clute. Clute is cool. There's one scene where, I guess, Jane Fonda Bree. Her name is Bree. She get home from, a long day of hooking. And I don't know if it's hooking. It's hooking, like when you're a hooker. I don't know if you call it hooking. Being a sex worker. Let's just say a long day of sex work. She come home and she like sits at her little table. She got like a little gown on. And she put her feet up on the table. Light a joint with a little bit of, with a roach clip. Like, that was the thing back then. I had the little joint on the roach clip. Lit her candles, and the way that the shot is, it just looked like she was just kicking it. You know what I'm saying? Looked like it was some, it looked like what they would call soft life. I mean, there's a lot in that life that led to that moment, but just if you just distill just that moment, it was a mood board moment for the, you know, for the wellness set. Like, it just looked real chill. Looked like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't say self-love. I forget what the new hustle is. What they calling that shit? Wellness. It's all under that umbrella. But that was probably one of the best shots of the whole movie. Overall, it was decent. I'd probably say Gloria is a little... Gloria is more of a fun movie, in my opinion, than Clute. Clute is okay. That's enough with the movies. Let's bring it back to the small screen real quick. We're going to talk about Industry. I'm not sure if y'all watching it. Latest episode of Industry. Industry season 4, episode 3. The episode was called Habsigli Kaiten. Habsigli Kaiten. That's how you pronounce it. I had to go to the damn YouTube. You know how they tell you how to pronounce some shit. It's a German word which means possessions. Which I guess it plays to the theme of the episode in some capacity. But anyway, and I only watched it once just the other day. So this is what I recall, what I remember. I enjoyed this episode. This episode was pretty good. This episode was the start of Stern Tao. So you're seeing Harper and Eric now working together. Harper left the old situation. And now her and Eric, they've teamed up again, you know, or in a formal sense, created their own agency. They're operating out of a hotel room, basically being bankrolled off of Eric's dime. They got an industry that's kind of based on shorting stocks, which Tender is the stock that, you know, that's the company we've been talking to. They've been kind of following this season. So that's like the lead stock that they're going to be shorting. And they want investors to kind of, you know, fund it and make some money with them and trust their guidance. Basically, we seeing Harper and Eric working, again, close quarters, real lo-fi, I believe Eric called it, but working out of a hotel room. They don't really, they just the two of them, they have no staff at the point. They don't have a trader. They don't have anything. They're still building. They're about to start assembling on some real A-team type of thing. While they're trying to short Tender, on the other side of that coin, that's Yasmin and Henry. You know, Yasmin and Henry, they're married now. Henry is the nobility, you know what I mean? And the heir or prince or whatever. Like, he's up there. He's the aristocracy. And he married Yasmin, who Yasmin come from some money too, but not to that level, right? So Yasmin has kind of gotten Henry a job as the CEO of Tender because she's cool with the guy Whitney over there. We talked about this last week. And, you know, she's trying to kind of rebuild this man's confidence. You know what I'm saying? Like, his shit is real fragile. For him to be where he is, you know, to be who he is, unfortunately, I think he's still looked at as just somebody that didn't earn it, that didn't get it out the mud. That's just, you know, he was born into it, you know? Like, he's the ultimate Nepo baby, you know? So I think there's a self-consciousness that comes with that. You know, he also just took a loss on his last fintech venture. We talked about that. This Tender thing seems to be a bit of a, I don't say a shell company, but it's more to meets the eye. There's some dubious business practices going on, so it seems. You know, you got the reporter. What's my man's name? Jake? Is it Jim Diker, I think his name is? Let me find out. Yeah, James Diker, who's working for like a Financial Times magazine. He's trying to do an expose on Tender, and he's been hitting up Harper to try to get some information out of her. And she's kind of keeping him, you know, in the pocket because, again, they're trying to short this stock. So when he's hitting her with like, listen, they on some bullshit,
it's good information for her to have, and she can't obviously, she can't reveal that to everybody else because that would be insider trading or whatever. So anyway, long story short, she already felt like they were kind of, you know, on the, something to her, just, I guess off of just straight gut, felt like something that she should short. But then when she starts getting this more information, like, she's like, okay, I think my hunch has got some legs to this shit. You know what I'm saying? So then now, like I said, they're real short staff, but they're trying to build a little team. So Harper got Sweet Pea coming over, and Sweet Pea, you know, I guess she kind of helped Sweet Pea kind of get her legs up under her. So now Sweet Pea is, she's on some sleuth shit. Like, she's researching. She's trying to find out what's going on. She's going in on Harper's hunch. Like, you know, let me really get into this. And she has some information, and Harper's looking at it with a fine-tooth comb. They trying to figure out what's the bullshit here. They trying to sniff the shit out. So then there's that. Then you got Rishi who's coming through. Rishi winds up pulling up to the hotel while Sweet Pea's there. Sweet Pea spazzes. Yo, get out of here. You fucking crazy motherfucker. You killed your wife. That's the word now. You know, they don't know Rishi's wife was killed because he owed money. He owed her, you know what I mean? Break this dude's knees or shoot his wife in the head. He shot his wife in the head. So, but the thing is, I guess maybe he's never said, listen, my gambling got out of control and my wife was the casualty of it. Maybe there's some shame for that. So it seems as though people think that Rishi killed his wife, which made me think, when you got a spouse, especially as a man, when you have a spouse, right, you married or whatever, or even if you got a girlfriend, and they die suddenly, you are the immediate suspect. And I'm curious if that goes both ways. Like, if you're a woman and your husband dies immediately, do they look at you as the woman that killed her husband? Because they'd definitely be looking at the dude that's the guy that killed his wife. I don't know. I'm trying to think about if that goes both ways. Let me know. Give me an example. I was trying to think of an example. I'm sure they are some, but it's not coming to me right now. But Rishi's in that boat of, this guy killed his wife, allegedly. You know? It reminds me of the dude, what's the dude say? Was it in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? Brad Pitt, where everybody was like, Brad Pitt killed his wife? Because she was on a boat. She died in a boat in accident. Everybody like, died in a boat in accident, huh? Interesting. You know what I mean? But anyway, so Sweet Pea's bugging like, listen, if he's around here again, I'm not fucking with y'all. So Harper, she's like, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll take care of it. Just be cool. But Rishi's intel as well. And then what's my man's name? Quabena, that's Harper's old assistant and little, you know, jump off, which seems to be a little bit more. It seems to be more than just somebody she's jumping up and down with, because they meet up. He's late and she kind of spazzes on him, you know, but you could tell she kind of got feelings for him, and she seems like she's trying to push him away. Harper tries to push anybody away to get somewhat close. Eric kind of talks about it in this episode. He's like, listen, as much as we've been working together, as much as I know about you business-wise, and as much as I trust you business-wise, I know nothing about you personally. Eric has two twin daughters, I believe. And he asks her, yo, do you know anything about twins? Not knowing that she is a twin. You know, like, just little basic things like that he knows nothing about. And I think that's just her type of thing. I think she even kind of says that at some point in the episode, or somewhat along that. She defines herself by her work. Like, she takes it serious. It's life and death. That's really what she feels gives her life purpose. Quabena, you know, he's coming through. He seems chill. Like, he sees she could be high strung, because she's like, you know, her business is her business. She's living and dying by that. And, you know, and like, her time is her time. She could be back fucking doing more business, doing more work. Eric had to tell her to go out and go into the world and live life,
But she finds like everything and just work. It's hard for her to tear herself away from it. So when she does go to meet this cat to go get a drink or go get something to eat and he's 15 minutes late, she is tight. Then she also tells him, listen, I got to let you know I slept with somebody else. Does that matter? He cool. He like, wait, did you do it in 15 minutes that I was late? You know, like, he ain't tripping, which was interesting to me. This new generation is pretty progressive. You know what I'm saying? We'll talk about some progressive shit also. But, yeah, I was like, all right, brother, that's interesting. I guess they're, but he's selling, he exclusive. So, I don't know, but, hey, listen, again, these cats is, they're way more progressive than, you know, my generation. It's like, hold on now, what the fuck is going on? Anyway, he like, I ain't tripping, I just like you. You know what I'm saying? On that type of shit. But, you know, and then he seems to be, he might get pulled in as the traitor. Like, she's part, he about to be on, you know, on staff. You know what I mean? And then they bring back Kenny, old school Kenny, who was, you know, had the, I don't know if it was sex addiction or drug addiction or something, but he was in the program for a minute. He was bugging out. Kenny was working with Yasmin, kind of weirded her out some capacity, and then they had to fire him. I think Eric fired him. So now he's back via Harper, but Eric is there, and they have a little awkward moment in the elevator on the way to, like, a meeting. And he's like, yo, my bad, I'm sorry. He's like, man, listen, that ain't even the worst of what's been done to me. So I ain't tripping. It's an interesting moment. So anyway, so there's that. Now on the opposite side of that, Tender is trying to get as much capital, and they're doing a merger, and they need the board or their investors to all sign off. So they go out to, I want to say they go out to Germany. And they go meet with this one dude. I don't know his name. But they go out to meet this one dude. Maybe it is I think my man is Edward Burgess, I think. Anyway, they go out to meet with him and his moms. And they want to get the sign off, or they want to get the good graces or whatever as they move forward with the merger. But the guy, he's not really feeling how they're handling their business. He's like, you know, the world is moving more in an authoritarian regime. It's trending more towards authoritarianism and the idea of free market capitalism and democracy and business and all of that shit is a farce and this, that, and the other thing. Like, I won't say he's a kook, but he has strong views that they don't really agree with. However, they need this. They need the blessing, you know? And honestly, it's kind of the moms that is the one that has to say so, but he is vocal. So they're going back and forth, whatever, whatever. He says something that seems to have been, could be the way he says, I want to say Whitney's last name. Hold on. The way he says, the way he says Whitney's last name was Halberstram or whatever, or one of the last names, he kind of says it in a way that I guess emphasizes the fact that he's Jewish, you know what I'm saying? And they were like, yo, lightly anti-Semitic, we wasn't feeling that, whatever, whatever, when they like kind of reconvene a little later. And Yasmin is like, I don't think that's the case. Listen, we need to smooth this over because they got to dip back to another meeting with the principals, with the board, so they can't just be sitting around trying to placate this dude, Whitney and Henry. They ready to get up out of there. But Yasmin's like, let me stay here and let me figure it out, you know. Oh, also, let me let you know, Haley, who is Whitney's assistant, Whitney's assistant, Haley, who is, you know, old Sally Draper, she confides with Yasmin that, yo, she slept with the guy that's doing a hit piece on Tender. Because the hit piece is coming out, but the only thing is the hit piece don't really have too many secondary quotes, so they can't really be as robust a piece as they would like for fear of being sued. So anyway, there's like rumors that this piece is going to drop. So Haley tells Yasmin, hey, heads up. I kind of slept with this cat and he's the one writing the piece. And you know, I just want to give you the heads up. Da, 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 da. You know, just wanted to confide in you. She's like, nah, don't worry about it. I got you. I appreciate your transparency with me. It looks like they've got like a bit of, I don't say a union, but they've got an understanding. You know, there's a little bit of trust there. Okay. So anyway, and funny enough, though, she might confide in her, but she doesn't see her as a superior or somebody that has any real say-so because she still just sees her as Henry's wife, right? As many people do. A lot of people in the meetings, they're like, yo, why is she here? And Henry's like, oh, she's a consultant. But everybody like, all right, bro, that's just your wife, you know? So she's not getting the respect that maybe she wants, which is a callback to the second episode where Harper says that to Yasmin, like, I don't think you're gonna get the respect that you're looking for the way you moving. But anyway, because there's a moment when just as she's about to leave Haley, she says, listen, when we go out to Vienna, take the night off, enjoy yourself, you know? And you know, Haley's like, yeah, I appreciate that, but I answer to Whitney and Henry, and unless they say it expressively or explicitly, I can't do it. But I appreciate, you know, listen, I appreciate the gesture, but you don't hold no weight in my real corporate life. All right. So anyway, long story short, they in Vienna. They done had the dinner. Homie, you know, spoke out. He said his piece. It got a little testy. Again, Henry and Whitney about to fly back the next morning. Yasmin says, let me chill. I'm going to try to smooth things over. So she has a conversation with the mother, and she also has a conversation later on with the guy. I forget my man's name one more time. What is his name? Edward. So anyway, the mother comes in. She says, yo, listen, we put you up in a very special room. This is our favorite room. You know what I mean? It's, you know, these are, and I think this is what kind of where also where the title comes in too. These are some of our favorite things. These are things that are close to the heart that we got. She says something in German about it. But, you know, this room was carefully and deliberately picked for you. You and Henry. This is like the room for guests of honor. You know, want you to enjoy it. So anyway, she's like, I appreciate that. Feels like the moms might be feeling Yasmin at least. Or maybe she's just super hospitable. I couldn't tell. Later on that night, Yasmin is, you know, they about to go to bed or whatever. There's a knock at the door. I'm thinking it's the mother. It's a knock at the door. Lo and behold, it's Haley. Haley coming back. I guess she just came from being out in the streets or whatever, and she's coming to give Yasmin some type of business information, or it feels like maybe, you know, she's giving her some type of business shit. And Yasmin was like, well, that could have been an email. And it just felt like Haley wanted to see Yasmin, right? Because in the last episode, there was a moment where Yasmin was like, yo, you want to get in the bed with me? And Haley was like, I can get in the bed with you. I can sleep with you. And Yasmin was like, all right, get in the bed. Kind of called her bluff. And she was like, no, I'm cool. So it's been a little bit of tension between the two of them. Anyway, she comes to the door and, you know, she's like, she says some type of shit that could have been in an email. Yasmin is like, ah, yeah, that could have been in an email. I smell liquor on your breath. You know what I mean? Like you tipsy right now at my door, some tipsy shit. She's like, yeah, she laughs a little bit because she's still junior, you know, fresh out of college, you know what I mean? Like awkward with getting what she wants, but at least trying to. And Yasmin peeping, you know? And again, like, maybe Yasmin isn't, like, respected at these boardroom tables just yet. It's starting to come. People starting to see her value, but they still look at her as almost like a plus one, you know, Henry's wife. But Yasmin, she know how to manipulate what she can. She know how to move her possessions. So she said, yo, come in. Henry, her husband, the CEO of the company that Haley works for, and Yasmin works for as a consultant. This nigga just coming out the shower in a robe. He's like, hey, you know, And he's like real straightforward. You know what I mean? Like he's real like, again, he's in a precarious situation because he doesn't really know. He hasn't really stepped into his full confidence. You know what I mean? But he does know things that are above board and not. And he's like, yo, what is the executive assistant doing in our bedroom after hours? I'm just coming out the shower. Yeah, Yasmin, his wife, is like, yo. She bring Haley over there. And she basically, you know, she fucking turns that little offsite into a Diddy party. She say, yo, you like what you see? You know what I'm saying? Pointing at Henry. Haley thirsty. She's like, yeah. It's like, yeah. Yo, Henry, I'm going to give you the opportunity to get that. You know what I mean? I know you want that. Ah, listen, I'm signing off on it. Enjoy that. Y'all enjoy each other. Y'all, I'm orchestrating it. Y'all enjoy each other. Get at each other. He in his robe. She, you know what I mean? She taking her shit off. And then Yasmin just go sit over in the corner, light a cigarette. You know what I'm saying? On some, in the cuck chair, kind of. You know what I'm saying? On some Diddy shit. I mean, peeping, smoking a cigarette, watching the shit unfold, but like also directing it. You know what I mean? Like, listen, do this, do that. You know, telling both of them what to do. Henry reluctantly, but not all the way reluctantly. He getting, you know, they getting it in. After a while, Yaz was like, all right, back. Henry, get off her. Haley, turn around. Spread your legs. You know, she talking it through the whole shit. And then she go over there, she handle business, and like they turn Shorty out. Yasmin, real talk, turns both of them out. She turned Henry out and she turned Haley out. She power moved the whole situation. So then Haley goes her way. Henry, you know, he don't know what to believe. The next day he's like, I don't know who I married. She's like, you should know. You know what I'm saying? Long story short, you shouldn't know. Yeah, Haley seemed like she kind of want to do the shit again. Henry ain't really all the way for it, but it's like they done unlocked some shit, you know. So I'm trying to think what else happens. How's the rest of it end? So I forget somehow. Oh, Eric finds something because he's looking through the same files that Harper's finding, and he finds something that's suspicious, like a loose thread. Harper calls Sweet Pea. They think they might have found like a little bit of a, I don't know if it's embezzlement, but just a way of which they found something that just doesn't seem to line up with like a multi-million dollar corporation. Like their headquarters is some real modest, not even modest, like a shoddy personal home. Like it's you know what I mean? It's like, it looks crazy. It should not, this almost look like the, I don't know, the UK equivalent of the peas. You know what I'm saying? Like it's, they, it's something, something's going on. Something's going on. They trapping, basically. This is a place that's linked to some other shit. So they find out, oh, they got these little various places where they're coding. Because basically one of the things with Tinder, the thing with Tinder that's dubious, and we talked about this before, the thing with Tinder that's dubious is they still are being used as the pay portal for, you know, like kink sites and online gambling. And over there, I guess it's still looked at, you know, as there's morality clauses and things like that. And Whitney is trying to position Tinder to look as it's a clean bank. It has no, it doesn't delve in that type of thing, where the truth of the matter is, it looks like they make a lot of their money, if not the majority of their money, still based on all of that proclivity. You know what I'm saying? So now they just watching the money. It's almost like a bit of like some wire type shit where they like follow the money type shit. And then they just see, okay, so it's starting to get hip. And then Harper looks like she's about to call James and give him a tip that's only going to make his next story even more robust, which is only going to help Harper be able to short the, you know, make more money. And it's interesting because Yasmin and Harper, as cool as they are, they're basically on other sides of the cause. Like, Yasmin's failure will be Harper's win, you know, and vice versa. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. As always, you know, industry's fun. Industry's fun. It gets a little, it gets super provocative. You know, it's adrenaline and I guess hedonism and adrenaline. You know, it's one of those. It's what you tune into industry for. So that's that. That's that. That was a meandering ass recap. But yeah, I hope y'all watching. If so, if you're watching, let me know what you think. Are you feeling this season so far? How's it compared to the last couple seasons? Are you rooting for anybody in particular? What do you think of the new characters? What do you think of what Yasmin did? You know, what do you think? Do you think Haley? Because my thing was, I felt like that move might have compromised Henry in a big way. You know, this is overseas, so I'm not sure how deep the Me Too, you know, how deep that, if that holds up over there, you know what I mean? Culturally, if that's something that's frowned upon or they just, everybody doing whatever they want to do over there. But that was the first thing I thought. I was like, oh, they wilding, you know? But also this cat is nobility. So even if he was to get fired, he's going to be fine. You know what I mean? He's going to be rich, even in disgrace. But let me know what you thought about that move. And if you got any predictions, let me know. Hit me in the comments. That's it. That's it. That was the pod for this week. What I want to tell y'all. If you don't know, Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, February 26th through the 28th. Tickets are on sale right now. I'm going to have some more stuff. Road is starting to develop. So I have some more announcements to make. But yeah, you know, as we say, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy to get in the conversation.
Hello.